Hello, it's Crystal McKinney, your bitchy coach. I am back. I have been so extremely busy, but it's with so many good things. I'm so excited about my future, so excited about what I'm going to be able to bring to you with my podcast. As you know, I've hired a virtual assistant, so I have more time. Even though I have more time, it seems like I don't. You know, we have been training and just really getting up to speed, and there's a lot of onboarding involved, but that's okay. Nothing to be concerned about. The onboarding is fun, and I'm excited to be working with her and just propelling my business forward. So let's get into some self-care. Let's get into some how to level up. What can you do for yourself, like hiring a VA? Today we're going to be talking about how to let go, how to let go of things. Yes, I am finally going to be transitioning out of teaching every single morning, teaching my little babies that live in China. So I'm transitioning out of that, and it's definitely been a process, and I don't want to call it a struggle, but I'm going to share with you some things that I'm doing right now, and it's in real time, and I'm coaching myself through it. And you know, that's really the first key when you hire a coach. Has this person been through these things, or are they just picking things out of the air, or they read a book, you know, or they had some training? But you need to do it in real life. It needs to be translatable. I need to be able to help you when you're in a scenario and to think about how you can work through something that you're dealing with. So please go and get some water. I'm going to actually get some water because I just finished up teaching my lessons for the morning, and some of the things that I've done today to help myself and care for myself and to care for my babies. It's fresh on my mind, so this is why this is today's podcast. So let's go. Let's learn about self-care when you're trying to let go of things or people. I'll be right back. Okay, everybody, I'm back. I actually took a really long break. Normally when I say I'll be back, you know, I went and I had some tea, some really delicious tea that I brought from France, and I'm on my last little bit of tea leaves, and I don't know, I just wanted to savor it. Please, please take the time for yourself every day, all the time. Just, you know, don't rush through your life. Try to think through what's going on, you know? I mean, even though I'm trying to do this podcast and I want an audience and I have something on my mind that I want to say, I don't force myself. I push myself. I'm pushing by being a new podcaster. I'm pushing by saying, okay, Crystal, get that on your schedule. Go do a podcast. But I don't force it. When you force things, you're not in your awareness. You're not in your power. This is not what I was planning on talking about, but I just want to let you know that when I say take a break, I really do mean take a break, you know? Even if you're listening to this podcast, put it on pause. Maybe you're interested, maybe you're not. But, you know, pause it and go take a break if you need. So that's what I did. I took, I took like an hour in between my little short intro. And I enjoyed my tea, and I just kind of reflected back to when I was in Paris and like enjoyed the tea. I tasted it. I felt it in my body, and I just thought, oh, is my throat getting better? I really want to sound good on this podcast. Now, that's another thing. You know, I may not sound great right now, and that's okay. This is uniquely me. I'm not going to go and get voice coaching and wait for my throat to resolve to be perfect. You know, I'm perfectly me right now. Even that, the mistake I just made, I don't care. You know, we spend too much time judging ourselves and worrying about what other people think, and I just really don't anymore. I really don't. That's my job. That's what I want. That's why I'm the bitchy coach. I want you not to give a fuck, okay? I don't want you to care. I mean, I want you to care on one level, but not care about those little things, those little nitpicky things that we really put upon ourselves first. And we do the judging. Oh no, I made a mistake. I don't sound good enough. My throat is scratchy. Well, you start it, right? And then you never produce anything. Your podcast never gets out into the world. And the fact is, every single person, every single day stumbles upon their words. Every single person, every single day, at some point, you know, they get a scratchy voice. They are dehydrated. They're not perfect. And so when we start to understand that, we can be more productive and more real, okay? And that's really what my coaching is about. So I'm gonna move on. I'll do a longer podcast about this later, about this subject matter. So really what I want to talk about today is how to get yourself through a time when you need to let something go. And in this case, I'm going to be speaking in particular about people or a person. In my case, it's people. It's hundreds, maybe thousands of people that I need to let go. And I was not struggling. I was struggling, you know, wavering back and forth. And that's natural. This is what we do. And so I'm going to tell you about my experience in all ways, and I'm sure you can find some relevance in your life and on how I'm dealing with it, and I feel really good. You know, first we have to work on our own feelings, and that's what my podcast is about. That's what my coaching is about. How can you be the best you that you can be? You really can't be the best you if you're sad and if you're worried about the past and if you have regrets. So if you don't let things go in a way where you feel good with them, you're going to have regrets and you're going to have concerns and you're going to, you know, put all this weight upon yourself, and that is just trauma. And so I coach you by how I've coached myself. And if I didn't get it right, I didn't get it right, and that's fine. And maybe what I did isn't exactly perfect for you, but I hope this is a good example and that this can help someone for free. You know, you don't have to go and get a coach at all. You can just think about this and some of my methods. Okay, so this is the scenario, and it is a real life scenario. I have been teaching students that live in China. These are children from the ages of maybe 3 at times, but they're supposed to be ages 4 up to about 16. I'm teaching them virtually how to speak English. And I have been doing this since October of 2017. At the time of this podcast recording, it is March 19th of 2021. So close to 4 years. And so I'm at the time when I need to sign a new contract. They do 6-month contracts because if you're not a good teacher, they don't give you another contract. So they go by 6-month increments, and they check to see if you're ever late. They check to see if you know, you get complaints from the parents, and are you teaching the kids well? Do you have good behavior, bad behavior? You know, every single engagement with a child is recorded. So all of my teachings have been recorded, and they replay them, especially if there's a problem. They're going to replay it. They review the video to make suggestions to other parents. You know, this teacher is patient. This teacher is stern. This teacher is really good with little ones, and they play a lot of games. This teacher is good with correction. This teacher would be great for higher level, upper level students that are going to be needing training, you know, for college level. Maybe they need to be doing presentations, you know, it's all different and everybody has a different skill set, and that's okay. I love that the company allows you to fit in where you want to fit in if you're smart enough. And that's what I did. My entire experience with the company, I was just myself. I didn't try to mimic anyone else or what other teachers were doing. And when I say that, I mean that, you know, the company has its own examples of how to teach. And when I first started and was going to join the company, I didn't know anything about them. I did have my Teach English as Foreign Language certification. I went through the process to learn how to teach someone another language back in 2011. I desired to move to China and just make that my new life. You know, my children were getting older and it's like, well, what am I gonna do now? I still love to travel. I still love to just help people. And so that's what I was going to do, or thought I was going to do, and maybe I still will. But so I already had my TEFL. I stumble across this opportunity that's online. I'm living in Nevada. I'm pretty much semi-retired or something like that. You know, I have a husband that takes very good care of us. And so I'm very grateful that I'm able to have a flexible lifestyle and just kind of figure out who I am and what I want to do. And so I started looking at YouTube videos, and there were plenty of teachers that had YouTube channels dedicated to this company. It's called VIP Kid. And they would show how to get hired and what to do during the hiring process. What I'm trying to say is, I don't suggest you watch those videos. Don't do that. No. Because the problem is, during the interview process, you need to be uniquely yourself. You need to be original. You need to be genuine. And what I realized is that after 3.5 years, the way that I'm going to tell you to get the job isn't accurate. I've been doing the job for too long. It's just not accurate. It's not accurate. I could give you different types of tips and pointers. I could maybe watch your video and let you know that, you know, some red flags, like, oh, you didn't use any TPR. You know, the student doesn't understand you. You didn't use any TPR. I could let you know that you're speaking too fast. The student wouldn't be able to understand you. I could let you know that your lighting is bad. So I could give you pointers like that. But on these YouTube channels, the teacher is literally going through the exact lesson and saying, do it like me, do it like this, and don't do that, don't do that. As I just explained, this teacher may be more stern. She may be a stern teacher. She may have a lot of silliness within her lessons. And what I know about the company is that there's, I don't know, millions, billions of clients. And they pick and they go with who they want. In the end, my clients did not want a silly teacher. They did not want a teacher that wore costumes and clown hats and said, blah, 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 you know, like me, little funny faces throughout the lesson. They wanted a teacher that was going to correct. I would correct the pronunciation, but I was very patient, and I did smile and, you know, just like give love to the students and make them feel comfortable and secure. So I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I don't want you to watch some videos and next thing you know, you get into the interview process and you think, oh, I have to act like a clown and jump around. And no, maybe that's not your customer. And if that's not you naturally, then don't go and put yourself in that position. You will be so burnt out and exhausted, I tell you, because this job is, it's, I don't want to say it's hard. I loved it. But I literally, for 3.5 years, I was committed to waking up at 1 a.m., 1:30 a.m., 2 in the morning. And I mean, like my first year, I did work on Christmas Day. I did work on Thanksgiving Day. I think I didn't take any time off. And then once I got more comfortable and more aware of the business and just really comfortable, then, you know, I said, I'm not working Christmas morning, but I maybe worked 355 days of that year. You know, I was very committed, and you're doing this every morning. unless you're going to go to bed at like 6 p.m., you know, then you're still making a commitment to your life, you know, to teach them early in that morning. And I didn't do that. I would, you know, stay up with my husband. I would cook. I would still do other things. And so I might go to bed at 9:30, 10 and wake up at 1:30. And so, you know, I love the babies. And that's what would drive me to get up. You know, the alarm goes off and I'm like, okay. You know, it was the excitement from what I was doing. Just, I loved what I did. And that's what drove me forward. If you don't love it, if you're not being authentically yourself, if you go into this process mimicking someone else, somebody else's style, and you go and you get, you know, funny hats and noisemakers and whatever, and it's not you, and that's how you get the job, and then that's how you start out with the parents. Maybe you do that for 2 months, and you're like, oh, this is great, I'm getting all of these bookings. But on those days when you're tired, on those days when you're exhausted, when you can't, all the other things that happen in life, you're not going to be able to sustain it. You won't be able to maintain it because it's not really you. And then when you get on camera that day, being who you really are, which is, it's not that it's less energy, that just wasn't you, that wasn't really who you were. The parents are going to complain and you're going to get 0 stars and then you get fired. Going back to what I was saying about the 6-month contracts. Okay, so we put it all together. You have failed now. So self-care, A, is just be yourself. We have to learn how to be ourselves. You know, there's this phrase that goes out. I've heard it so much this year, and it's imposter syndrome. And I never really found anybody that could explain it to me, but what I believe is pretty much what I just said. You know, you are in a sense of desperation. You don't really know who you are. And so into any environment, you go in not being authentically yourself. I will do a podcast solely about imposter syndrome, okay? So that we can really dive into that. But I hope that there was some sort of understanding there on what that is and how I would have been impostering myself by trying to be a teacher like someone else and watching their videos. And that's how I got hired. And you can't maintain it. You won't be successful. People need to know who you are, what you can really bring to the table. Okay, I'm going to take a short break and really just refresh my water and collect my thoughts. But I hope you've already understand that I loved and I love my babies that I teach. And so the next segment is about, I'm quitting now. I'm quitting. Yeah, my last day is going to be March 30th. So I've been doing this for 3.5 years and I'm breaking up. I'm having a big breakup. And I am personally, you know, struggling through it, but I'm figuring it out, and I want to share with you what I've been doing and just, you know, what the experience is like. So let's take a pause, and I'm going to have some of my hot tea and I'll be right back, and we'll talk about the process of getting over or letting go of someone or a lot of someones that you love. Okay, I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. And please forgive me if there's any shaky, wobbly voices here. I'm going to be keeping it real. And I'm one shot crystal. I don't believe in wasting time and editing and all that stuff. And hey, you long-term podcasters, you can complain, you can care. That's fine. But to me, the importance is getting out into the world what is on my heart and what I want you to know. It's not about editing and spending hours, you know, trying to get the sound right. I know you can hear me. Can you hear me? You can hear me. All right. And if there's a little bit of tears, that's just me being real. And I'm going to try not to, but I can't guarantee that I won't. So, and that is my point. That is my point. We are talking about letting people go. Like how can you let people go or someone go and not have trauma and not have regret and not have disappointments later and just not really understand how you can do it again? You know, you got to do it right the first time and then you can have a process for the second time. And I'm not saying this exact process is appropriate for every single process, because, you know, maybe your letting go involves not having any notice. Maybe someone has left without you being aware. Maybe it wasn't your choice, right? I definitely get that as well. For an example, I'm gonna say have, because I do believe in spirit and that people are still around. So my best friend left her body in 2006. The reasoning was because she had colon cancer, which spread. It wasn't operable, and so at least I did know she was going to pass away, and I did have a process with that. But that is not what I'm talking about today. And so I do know that maybe had she died suddenly and I didn't know, that's a different process than me being allowed the 6 months that I had. If you would like me to do a podcast about that type of letting go, please let me know and I'll tell you what I did with her. But I do definitely, I like what I did with her. I mean, when she passed away, it wasn't hard for me. It wasn't difficult for me. I'm able to talk about her. I'm able to still connect with her and love her and be strong within our relationship. And I know a lot of people, when they deal with grief or death, or, you know, they're holding on to trauma and they feel like, sometimes like they left me and that's not coming from a good place emotionally. And, you know, you're carrying things around that are going to prevent you from just moving forward in so many ways. And when you can work through death, and especially death, in a good way with a good process, you're going to be better down the line, because you're probably going to experience more than one death, or you'll be able to prepare someone for your death, right? So yeah, I'm gonna have to do a separate podcast on letting go with death, you know, or disease and things like that. So we are talking about letting go of my beautiful babies that I have taught for, I'm just going to say 3.5 years. And the way this company works with teaching the children, we have 25-minute appointments. And it's as the parents choose. It's as the customers come and go. So I could have had one student in 2018 and never saw them again. I don't know. And so, but that's not really what happened with me. I made big connections with a lot of the students, and their parents, you know, like really loved me and depended on me, and they would kind of fight for my spots, and you know, they wanted me to be their only teacher. So in that world of VIP Kid, we call them regulars. So I'm going to give you my stats. Let me see, my overall stats as we stand today. The number of days with VIP Kid is 1,239 days. The number of students that I have taught is 1,422. The number of classes that I have taught is 6,170. So if you take into account the number of students and the number of classes, I've obviously had repeats, right? So the way that works, you know, you have your regulars and maybe I've been teaching them since 2017. So I've seen them grow up. I've learned their mannerisms. I learned about their family. You know, I asked them, what did you do today? What's your favorite class? And then when I ask them what their favorite class is, they may, you know, tell me about a project. And then I might bring that back in at another lesson and say, well, remember when you told me that you like art? You know, just to help them and guide them with their language. And then they'll say, oh, yes, teacher. And I'll say, well, then what's your favorite thing to draw? So I just learn more and more and more about them. And the parents, you know, become impressed because, oh, she remembered my kid likes art. You know, they like that. And I would highly suggest if you want to do something like this, you know, pay attention to the children. If you don't love it, then don't do it. So for instance, today I taught Lika. Lika is 9 years old. Her real name, her Chinese name is Yan Yahan. And learn their Chinese names. It's respectful. You know, they make an English name to help us. And I thought, you know, it doesn't make any sense. If I am teaching English, I'm teaching the child phonetics. And if I could spend a little bit of time myself just to learn their name. I'm learning their name and they're learning our whole vocabulary and catalog of words. And so when I got close to a child, I would get their name and I would remember it and I would reference it back in the lessons when it was appropriate. So this student has had 120 classes with me. Okay, so she was a regular. I know her. And so we're talking about a student like that, right? These are the people that I'm letting go that I'm like, oh no, I'm not gonna see Yan Yahan. And I have a boy, Grace. Grace is 13. And I don't know his Chinese name, but his family really, really, really wanted full sentences. He needs full sentences. And I agree, Grace is a little lazy. Grace really enjoys American rap music. And he would insist when he would read, he would want to like rap his words. He wanted to rap the reading. And I was like, Grace, please stop. And that's the type of fun I would have with my kids. Instead of putting on the clown hat and acting silly, I would kind of make a point. Okay, I listen. I'm hearing what you're doing, Grace. You cannot do this. And I would say that. I would kind of take a parenting tone with Grace because he was older. And the parents loved that. So the total number of classes I had with Grace was 85 classes. The parents knew I was going to be firm and that they would get what they felt that, you know, Grace needed out of me. Which was, Grace, please don't talk like that. That is not going to be good for you later when you try to get a job or if you're doing a presentation. And I would ask him, well, Grace, what do you want to do in life? What job do you want? And I would find the importance in the job and say, okay, do you think that that's going to be an appropriate way for you to read a presentation or a report if you're a manager? Okay, Grace, let's read it properly. No, more. Rapping, okay? Okay, Grace? No, more rapping. And he would kind of laugh and smile. So I'm saying these are the relationships that I have with these children. They're in my heart, you know? And so she's my favorite. And so her name is Nancy. There we go, guys. There's the tears. Okay, bitchy coach, get it together. Get it together just to get through the podcast. So Nancy, her real name is Dong Siyu. Dong Siyu and Maya Yaya. Maya Yaya. She's 9 years old. And she's had 151 classes with me. So this family is really special. At some point when we first started having classes together, I don't know, I would talk to Nancy about like what kind of food did she like and who cooks So dad is the cook in the family, and that's actually very common. Most of these students would say, dad cooked, dad cooked, dad made the meal. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's fantastic. And so I would tell Nancy that I like spicy food, and oh, she does not like spicy food. And we would talk about where they ate for Chinese New Year, and dad enjoyed taking them to a fancy restaurant with, you know, like big tanks of seafood, and they would pick out the seafood fresh. And so we became WeChat friends. He would maybe send me, you know, send me a picture of their dinner or send me a picture of the restaurant. And he'd say, when you come visit Kunming, he lives in Kunming, China, you know, you need to come to our beautiful restaurant here. Or he sent me pictures of Nancy. He took Nancy on a vacation without mom, which I think is also common and acceptable. And they went to a place called Sanya. And apparently it's a beautiful, like, beach ocean type place where people go. Maybe in America it would be, I don't even know if it would be America reference. I don't know if it would be like Miami or if it would be more like us going to Mexico, maybe. I don't really know. But that's pretty much my reference point. And when I speak with other students, I'll say, do you ever go to Sanya? And that's, they kind of like, oh yes. And I'll say, that's the beach. That's, you know, to give them a reference point when I'm teaching in English. And so he would send me pictures of Nancy at the hotel or Nancy at the swimming pool. So I knew so much about Nancy and about her life, more than I would get in a lesson. Because you have to remember, these children may not necessarily speak English very well. And so dad found out that I liked spicy food. Dad found out that I love to cook as well. Dad found out that I like to cook Chinese food. So he sent me a huge box from China, literally probably my first year. And it had so many just wonderful things in it. You know, they were in Chinese, and they were things that I could get in America, but I didn't. I mean, I told him in some ways, just to let him know that America does appreciate and involve itself in Chinese culture. I didn't want him to think that America was just hamburgers and French fries. So he was like, oh, you can get some of those spices. I said, yes. But I really could get all of them if I went to the Chinese store, the Asian-related store, you know, market in town. But it was just so, I just thought it was just so sweet and so cute that he would take the time, send me a box and a note. And so, you know, he loved me too. The family loves me too. And so Nancy is going to be my last student. You know, the universe has blessed me. It's a blessing that I get to have a send-off with my favorite student and my favorite family. But within that, you know, within me thinking about that yesterday, oh, I was just tearing up. I was breaking up. I was like, no, not Nancy. I'm not crying now, guys. I'm okay. But, you know, I was really just, I was having a time. I was having a time. I mean, I was bawling for at least an hour, just bawling my eyes out. And I want to tell you, that's good. It's good, okay? You know, people try to make you feel like, suck it up. Stop crying. What are you doing? No, we were given feelings for a reason. A lot of reasons. Hey, I know I care. I know I'm human. I know that I love Nancy, right? And I know that I love her family. If I was always holding back in my feelings, I'm not going to be able to get there. You know, if I had a long history of when I say goodbyes, I just act like I don't care about people. Well, A, people are going to think I don't care about them. You know, and that's not cool. That's not cool. That's painful. And this is a part of what I'm trying to say. When I started thinking about letting the kids go, and I've been doing this for a while, I've been like, oh, I don't want to teach anymore. Once I got to the point of, oh, I don't want to teach anymore. Oh, I have to get up. Okay, Crystal, you don't love the job as much as you did. And for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. But, you know, I have other businesses. I'm a multi-entrepreneur. And it isn't that something has to go. It's that now I'm deciding I want this to go. And so I don't want to start telling you, oh, you can't only run one business. No. Do what you want to do. Do what you can do. And, you know, if I wanted, the thing with this is that this business absolutely requires me. I can't get an assistant. There's nothing I can do. It is me. And it's my body. And it's me waking up and being there. I'm not going to be some lazy lady not really teaching the children. So that's really the issue. I need to get more sleep. You know, that is a self-care requirement. I need to get more sleep. I need to be on the ball. I need to have my head in the game. And with me making vegan organic products, you know, that requires a hands-on for me. I haven't been doing that. I haven't had the time or the energy. I'm also a holistic beauty coach. I'm going to be holding classes soon. And what I'm really excited about and what's letting me have a better process with letting students go is that I do have a replacement. You don't always have to have a replacement. I mean, I don't want you to start thinking, well, I'm going to break up with my man and I'm just going to get me a new one right away. No, no, I don't suggest that. No, wrong thing to do. Yeah, you have to deal with yourself, people. Deal with yourself. But it's really that I hired an admin, a virtual admin, and she lives in the Philippines, and the time zone there is literally the same time zone as China. And I've been trying to onboard her and train her, and that, you know, that feels great and it looks good, and I like that I can give her more skills. Every new skill I give her helps me to take more off of my plate and to get what I want my business to be, to really get that down. And I'm trying to train her in the way where she can be some form of management for me, where she could train new virtual admins. You know, they may need to communicate in their language, which I don't speak. I want to make sure that the processes that I want for my company are exactly what I want. But this is my self-care, right? To get what I need out of my admin, so I can get what I need for my business, so I can be successful, so I can level up. And so when I say replacement, I mean that. Like, I'm excited about that, right? It's an excitement replacement. It's something to wake up for. When I started teaching the kids, I was bored. As I said, I was living in Nevada. My husband is a beautiful person and he takes care of us and he works hard. And, you know, just me picking up something, so he doesn't have to entertain me. He doesn't have to entertain me. I'm not just sitting around eating bonbons and like, okay, when are you going to finish work? When are you going to look at me and pay attention to me? No, let me go have my own interests. Let me go do something for myself. You know, I have a lot of education and I love learning. And so, you know, why be like a 48-year-old woman that's just sitting around floppy doodle? And so, you know, now I have where I have this a foreign person that I am helping to, you know, improve her life. And she actually does need English speaking help. And you know, it's helping build my business. So when I say replacement, I mean like that, a healthy replacement, right? And so that's a way that I'm letting this go. I'm not saying I quit in some angry way, or I'm not letting go of the business because maybe I got some bad reviews, right? Well, I'm just not going to work anymore. No. So I'm leaving on a high note. You know, I am still a 5-star teacher. I still would be fully booked if I had my slot open. I still love the kids. So that's the first thing, you know, why did you leave your company? You know, think about that. When you go to have a job interview, and they say, you know, why did you leave your last job? A lot of times, you know, you're fudging around with an answer, and that hiring person, they know when you're not telling the truth because it comes out of you. And so for me, I really am. I need more time for myself. I'm building my other business and I'm leveling up and I want to grow. And I do want to make money. I will make more money. I am going to make more money. And when I evaluate the amount of time spent in a day doing the teaching, and what else could I be doing in those 4 or 5 hours that would increase my profits, right? Well, if I teach my new admin for 4 or 5 hours, who is an adult who just needs to spruce up some things, you know? She needs to learn more about social media. If I show her how to really do hashtags, if I give her more design help, you know, sit there on Zoom and really show her for 30 minutes, you know, for 30 minutes, the type of design that I like, the type of fonts that I like, then I don't have to show her again. And so those 30 minutes take time off of my plate that I would need to keep showing her. When I ask her to design something or to do some research, it's done well. And so, A, I don't have to pay her as much because we're training over and over again, or mistakes, right? I'm saving money that way. Also, the more productive she is, the more her output is going to increase, right? Do you hear what I'm saying? So when I say money, I'm not saying I'm letting go of these kids because I'm just gonna go and take an hour to overcharge someone. That's not what I mean. I mean, we have to still be evaluating every step of the process with our businesses and what we're doing, and am I doing the best to serve myself? And then also, is serving myself also serving others? And that's what I like to do. I like to serve others. So I'm replacing serving all of these children with serving my admin, which is going to be serving me. And definitely, I know this is one of many years where I'm leveling up. I'm leveling up. I'm ready to go. I'm like so hot and on fire. And so this is the first part of the process. Evaluate what's going on. Okay, I'm not really in love with the job anymore. I'm not super excited waking up. Okay. Write that down. Journal it. You know, put down the pros and cons. What are the pros of working this job anymore? Well, I love the kids. That's pretty much it. I love the kids. And I love that, you know, they're learning and that they're getting better. And then the cons, I won't see them anymore. You know, I won't see them anymore if I quit. But the cons of the role is it's taking up a lot of time. The amount per hour isn't really that great, you know, if you really think about it. So my pros and cons, and I'm like, okay, it's time to let this go. And then comes up, there's the big con has been, I won't see them again. You know, and I feel it in my heart, right? You heard it a couple of minutes ago when I tried to tell you about the little babies and their names. I was like, Lika. And you know, even just recording this, even just having those little moments of saying Lika and saying Grace and saying Nancy, I'm getting stronger, I'm better, right? You can hear it now. I could probably say everything I said about Nancy again, and I'm not gonna have the same thoughts. So please listen to this podcast and hear. You have to express yourself, really go there and allow yourself to be sad or to be happy or to be frustrated or to be angry. It's your own therapy. It's your therapeutic process. This is how you won't have trauma. This is not gonna have to be traumatic for me, right? This doesn't have to be traumatic, okay? So I'm taking a quick break, partially because we can't record that long. The software doesn't allow super crazy long recordings. So I do have to pause. I'm gonna come back in and I'm gonna talk about the more emotional side of what I'm doing to protect myself and protect the babies. So I'll be right back. Okay, so we're working through the process of letting people or a person go. And in this case, this is job related. And that does happen, you know? You work at a company, you may think, I hate everybody. I've been there. I just walked out. So this is life progress. If you want some stories of some, I walked out of a couple of jobs. Oh, I think it's funny. I mean, that was my self-care at the time. Like, you're not going to be the boss of me, or you're not going to tell me what to do or abuse me. That's self-care too, okay? The bitchy coach would say, just go then. I don't think I regret those moments. So good for me. Good job, Crystal. Good job. Good job you walked out. I needed to in those instances. This is not the same. You know, I love this job. And you know, there can be confusion there, like, oh, why would I go if I like it? Huh? What's going on? I don't have the time anymore. My body can't handle it anymore. I need more rest, and I need to, you know, figure out, I've got all these businesses, and I don't have to let this one go. I'm choosing to let this one go. And within that, I also realize, ah, I love the kids. Wait a minute, what am I gonna do? And so if I just one day had just stopped, I don't think that would be appropriate. I think you can hear that based on, you know, my love for these families and how much the children love me. So that's what I'm trying to say. This is self-care. I think if I just stopped in this instance, unlike those jobs that I had that were corporate that I walked out on, I definitely think I would have a lot of regrets. And so I've thought about this for a while, you know, for a while. And at the time of this recording, you know, we're in the middle of second wave of COVID in America. And I gotta tell you, man, if I didn't have these kids during the first wave of COVID, I don't know what I would have done. You know, we were suddenly stuck inside, and I had a connection to the world. I had other people I could see, you know, oh, there you are, there you are, there's my babies. And also the fact that they were in China, I, you know, we didn't talk about it, we didn't communicate, but I could see that they were scared, you know, I could see that they were scared. And I loved being there as like a protector. And I don't know what they knew about America and our president at that time and things that he would say about Chinese people. And I really loved being able to reflect back through my eyes and through my voice and through my love and through my teaching that, you know, I didn't suddenly not like them, or I didn't think they were at fault of doing anything, you know, to me. I did have a parent that the parent would get online and she would sit during the lessons with her children, and she would talk to me about COVID, and she told me, you know, take care of yourself. Do you have any masks? I said, no, you know, they wouldn't let us get any masks, and crazy costs and frenzy. And she was so beautiful. She sent me, wow, I don't even know, maybe 50, what do we call them? N9s? I don't know. You know, the ones, the ones that America, that they said we couldn't buy because they were for the nurses and the doctors. She sent me a whole bunch of those. And then she sent me the normal, you know, throwaways, probably. I know at least 200 of those, but it was multi-packs, and they were packed tight. And so she sent those to me from China. You know, she didn't charge me. Well, actually, okay, she has a good friend that lives in California. And so she was so concerned about me. She asked that friend to quickly send me some stuff from California because she knew the Chinese shipment would take too long. She, you know, we know how COVID operated. She wanted me to be protected pronto. It was just so sweet and so beautiful. You know, that was beautiful. And I take note of things like that. That is my love language. I don't need you buying me things, even though it was monetary. I want you to love me, right? She loved me. She was like, I don't want you to die, teacher. I want you to be careful. And, you know, she's you know, don't send me a mask, you know? So these are beautiful people, and I'm letting them go. You know, the whole family, the whole system, the whole network. And so, you know, thinking that through, A, even though I love them so much, I hope you can hear in my voice that I love them so much. And I do believe in affirmation, and I do believe in manifestation, and I do believe in attraction. And so I'm speaking about this in a certain way where I want to continue to attract beautiful people like that into my life. I know that I'm a beautiful person, and I love to give to people. I hope that this podcast is giving to you. And I want to get that back to myself. I want to be able to find podcasts that are positive. I want to be able to find people that give me a little nugget here and there that I hadn't thought of, you know, that can help me. And so understand that that is a part of the law of attraction. If I share with you, somebody else is going to share with me. If I'm positive, I'm going to attract positive. And, you know, if you think that's woo-woo, that doesn't make any sense. Another thing is, with me coming from this positive place, I recognize positivity. I know what it is. As soon as negativity comes at me, man, I'm running, okay? You can hear it. You can feel it. If I were to come across a podcast and, I don't know, I feel like this is a positive podcast, let me know. You can send me a message and let me know. But, you know, that's it too. I am attracted to other positive podcasts. You know, tell me something good. I'm not on this podcast like, man, and I'm leaving. And no, I'm telling you how to get over this. I'm telling you how to, process this properly. So let's talk about that. So I do recognize that the babies, you know, they obviously love me and the families love me. And so I'm like, oh no, you know, and trauma would be to let my ego take over and make myself more important than I really am. So my husband made a comment when I told him. I said, you know, yeah, I'm gonna stop. You know, I'm gonna end at the end of March. I'm going to. But I was super excited because I've developed a masterclass that I'm going to be holding starting April 1st. And when I was trying to work out the date and the time of when I could do the masterclass, I didn't want to hold myself back. I didn't want any excuses with, oh, well, no, I can't do it this week or that week because I teach the kids, right? And these are little silly things that we do to ourselves. We harm ourselves. It's not good self-care where we keep something else around or make up an excuse because we're really afraid. And I'm not afraid to do this masterclass. I'm super excited. I'm fired up. And as the universe would have it, I'm doing the masterclass with Philippine workers. And the time in the Philippines is exactly the same time zone as China. And when I was communicating with my admin about a good time to have the masterclass, she said, oh, you know, 7 p.m. Philippines time. That ended up being the early morning that I would normally teach the students. And so I went to go look at my calendar and I said, oh yeah. I said, I could do it at that time. She was like, are you sure? I said, yes, I've been doing this for almost 4 years, waking up at this time. And I know how to look fresh-faced and bright. And, you know, it's my normal time zone to wake up. So yeah, I'm going to be aware. I'm going to be on. I'm going to be alert to teach, you know, you guys. And so, yeah, that's a great time. And then I looked at my teaching schedule for the children. And since I was already like, ugh, I was like doing this ugh thing when it came to teaching, and I hadn't opened up my April schedule, I was kind of like, maybe I'll just take a couple of weeks off, right? And so the more that I could see that I was manifesting this bigger journey with teaching these people in the Philippines, trying to get these women, you know, these Philippine workers, they make from $1 to $2 to $3, maybe a high level earner is making $10 an hour. And I want them to learn more. I want them to be able to make more. So that's my new journey, my new quest, my new teaching is this. And so I feel good, you know, it's a good replacement. And just looking at the manifestation that was going on, I was like, oh, this is perfect. Yeah, April 1st, beginning of a year, nice date for anyone to like start something. You know, you're gonna do a 7-week course. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Looking at the flyer, you know, April 1st to 7th, that sounds great. The time of day is great for them. You know, okay, yeah, this is, it sounds like, you know, what I've been working towards and me stopping at this time, it's perfect. It's in balance. It's great, right? Like, what if I stop teaching and do this little like hiatus for 2 weeks? I'm going to get a little lazy. I'm going to enjoy that waking up, who knows what time, 10 a.m. or something, right? And so I think it's good to just jump right back in. Well, not even jump out, right? Literally the next day, I'm waking up and I'm just doing something else. And it's not true. My last class is March 30th. I'm going to have one day off. And then April 1st will be my course with these adult Philippine workers. And so are you hearing me? Are you hearing my excitement? Are you hearing what I'm saying about letting go? Okay, I didn't find some crazy replacement, like some breaking up with my man and I'm gonna go on this or that service and, you know, act naughty. No. This is good self-care. This is good replacement. It's reasonable and there's meaning behind it, right? I'm still fulfilling my purpose. I'm expanding my business. Okay, so now let's get down to the babies. You know, my husband said, oh, that's got to be traumatic for them. And I was like, ugh, stop, right? And I was like, don't go there. Don't go putting the guilt trip on me and making me feel bad. And listen, if I choose to feel bad, that's my problem. My husband's statement, I don't think he was trying to make me feel bad. And we have to remember that. We can't put blame on other people for how we're feeling. I don't know what his intentions were with what he was saying. I think he was just, you know, he was just trying to, you know, work through communicating with me. He was trying to just, you know, connect with me, and I appreciate that. And so as I thought through that, I was like, no, they'll be fine. You know, there's other teachers, and that is the facts. You know, if I take ego out of it and, you know, oh, they need me, I'm the only teacher available, I'm the best teacher they've ever had. And maybe I am on some levels, but you know what? They can't find another really good teacher because they only, I'm the teacher they've seen for 100 lessons. I get that too. So no, is there a replacement? Yes, there's a replacement. There is a replacement, right? And when I really got down to that, you know, okay, that's one way that I'm feeling better, right? That's one way to release it, where I don't have to feel guilty. I don't have to have regrets. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? Give me a clap. Give me a silent clap that I can't hear. There we go. I think I'm communicating this the right way, right? So, you know, if you're going to leave your job, let's say, and you're like, oh my God, nobody else knows how to operate that system. I'm the only one that can work this technology. Hey, you're probably fooling yourself, right? They can find a replacement for you. And if you can't deal with that, that is something you're gonna have to deal with, right? You need to work through that. And also, let's say that you're leaving your job and you know, you love the other coworkers and things like that. You know, help your employer. Help them to find a replacement. Let them know, you know, I really want to transition out of this job. I want to move on. Maybe you want to become an entrepreneur like I am, or you want to do something like that. Go and say, you know, I'd love to give you a month or 2 months where I could really, really train somebody on that software. I do realize that I developed it, and, you know, I don't want to leave you in a lurch. And I can't tell you how your employer is going to react. But as long as you know that you left things in a good vibration and doing what you felt was right, it's not your problem how they handle something. I do know sometimes you can give your employer notice like that and they're like, well, you can just go. That's them not understanding. That's them not living in a certain type of power or awareness. And typically they're hurting themselves, right? You just go. Well, okay, there you go. Now you did screw up your business because you didn't let me train someone. But if you hear what I'm saying, you do what's right, right? You do what's right. So what I've been doing while I'm taking my classes, and I know that I'm, you know, not going to teach the students anymore. The company does not have any sort of process in place for these types of moments. And I've been like, hey, teachers are leaving all the time. What are you doing for the students? What happens? You know, there's no sort of, note that we can give the parents, or bell that we can ring, or notification to say, I won't teach your student after this lesson or something. And so, you know, I realized that was going on. And so one thing that I did while I was in mid-lesson one day, I think it was last week when I started, and I looked at my schedule while I was teaching the student, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to see this kid again. I'm not going to see this student again, you know? And I had a little bit of gut feeling like, ooh, because I really liked the student. It wasn't like Nancy, but it was some other student that I've seen a lot, maybe 25 lessons or something. And so in the moment, I was just like, okay, give him like the best send off ever, right? So I put more energy into it. I was more lively, you know, and I was just like, great job. Yeah, high five. Good. We rocked it, right? I was really like, I want him to have the best feeling today and to know that someone loved him. You know, the teacher loves him, and that, you know, she said, I did really good. You know, he can maybe turn to mom or dad and say, I did good, right? And then even with that, I thought, you know, when that family goes to find a replacement for me, when they go to get another teacher, you know, for his next lesson, that they can have a good comparator, right? That they can go and say, you know, I want somebody high energy. They can know what they want. That's their law of attraction. You know, they've had these experiences with me where they could say, maybe they have the next lesson and that teacher is just like drab and doesn't really encourage the student. The family can say, nope, not the right teacher. Nope, not the right teacher. Nope, not the right teacher. And that's okay to desire what they were getting from Teacher Crystal. You know, that's why they did the 25 classes. They liked whatever they saw. Maybe they wanted an improvement here or there. I don't know. But, you know, that's me feeling like, you know, the child is not going to end in that particular case, the child with 25 classes. We weren't super close, you know, they didn't send me things. We didn't have any private messages, just kind of like, you know, somewhat of a regular that I was getting to know, but getting to know me, but still having them feel like, you know, when they realize, oh, you know, she's not here anymore. I mean, this is a wide network platform where there's billions of teachers. And so where they could just be like, oh, that was nice. She was nice. You know what I mean? They could just feel like that was a nice teacher. It's just kind of like the little droplets of yourself that you leave throughout the universe. You know, when you go to the grocery store, are you smiling or are you mean? You know, so people one day will say, oh, I remember that nice face or that nice person. So that's kind of what I'm saying about this particular case. Now, when we get to the students that I know well, like Nancy and Lika and Grace, that's where I'm like, ugh, I don't want that child to have a trauma. I understand that my husband, that's what he was talking about. He's talking about those children. And so yesterday, as I was really going through it, I was crying and I was bawling and I was texting my sister and I was like, oh no. I mean, I was doing the codependent and just bawly thing. And I am so grateful for her for giving me that time. I'm gonna let her know too, but I had a student. Oh, okay. So I had a student in the morning. His name is Nono, but well, it says Nono and Sue. I call him Sue during the lessons. And I don't know how many classes he's had with me. Let me look. But anyway, I had Sue yesterday and I went and looked and I realized I wasn't having him anymore. I'm not gonna have Sue. And I didn't know. I hadn't prepared. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready yesterday. And so in the moment, I just had to like, you know, it was the end for Sue and I hadn't done anything. I wasn't ready yet with the processes that I'm giving you. And so I started to like, you know, get a lump in my throat as we were talking and I was like, ooh, ooh. And so part of what I'm trying to say is self-care for Sue was that I didn't cry. You know, putting my trauma on Sue is not appropriate. That's not appropriate. You know, he's a 10-year-old boy. We've had 113 classes. And so we had, you know, we're not gonna have any more. So in that moment when I hadn't come up with a process, I didn't know what to do, which I'm trying to help you guys out with, trying to tell you what to do. As the lump came out of my throat, I had the awareness of no. You know, he can't have his last class where his teacher was crying. No, that's not right. You know, that will be a vision in his head till the end of time. So if I do that to him, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to have that trauma. I'm going to have that in my mind too. Like, did I hurt Sue? Is Sue thinking about me right now? Is Sue remembering teacher Crystal sad? No. So I gave him a good send off. Oh, Sue, that's wonderful. You're so smart, Sue. You know, Sue. So I just pumped him up. I pumped him up. But Sue is smart. I wasn't lying. But I just, you know, I gave him 125,000%, you know. And at the end of the lesson, you know, we normally end at 25 minutes. I gave him 30 minutes. And well, the company was cut you off at 30 minutes anyway. They cut off the computer, the recording. And so I was just like, yes, I'm giving it all. I'm giving him my all. And, you know, even if it's just another pronunciation correction, I'm going to give it to him. And then I wrote the family a note. You know, we always give feedback about how the student did today. You know, how was the lesson? And I said, family, you know, I'm not going to teach anymore with VIP Kid. I just made the decision recently. I didn't know that I was going to stop, but I'm just tired. So I explained that I was tired and that I wanted to tell Sue. You know, I thought about it in the middle of the lesson, but I started to get sad. You know, I let them know I was getting sad and I really love Sue and I didn't want for him to see teacher cry. But, you know, please let Sue know that I love him and that he's gotten so big. And, you know, I just really like, because I've never told the family this before. And so I wanted them to know, you know, I care about your child. And then I left them my WeChat details. We never connected on WeChat. I gave them my ID and I said, he can send me pictures. You can write me. And so with that, you know, when we talk about the ego part, the part that makes you think maybe you're more important than you are, I don't know. I mean, maybe the family doesn't care. You know, maybe when they got my message, they're like, deuces, peace out, whatever. We were about to drop you anyway. You were kind of getting on our nerves. So you were looking tired. You know, we were just hanging in there for you. Like, what if they kept booking the classes because they thought I'd be sad, right? So self-care is really running through all that stuff, you know, listening to your monkey mind. And are you fooling yourself? And kind of just covering all the bases. If they do love me, great. I'm going to let them know I love them. If, you know, severing ties so suddenly in the last lesson without them knowing is traumatic, I'm going to give them a resource where it won't be traumatic. You know, I gave them a connection source, because really the teaching or connecting with the student is not about the teaching. You know, if they want me to keep seeing their kid grow up, or if they want to talk, you know, we can do video calls or something, and I'm letting them know they can. And so, wow, voila, no more stress in my heart. You know, wow, that was great. That felt good. Sue's mom knows I like Sue, and I'm letting her know, probably unlike other teachers that are left, you know, my reasons for it. I'm just tired. I've done this a long time, and I really love Sue and the reasons why. So I'm being genuine. It's the truth. And you guys can still call me, right? You can still connect with me. Let's be friends. And so, do you get that in self-care, right? I feel good. And also, you know, part of feeling good is making sure you're not hurting people along the way, you know, just drops of trauma that we're giving to other people or causing upon other people. So Sue didn't have to see me cry. I sent the message to an adult person. Mom can do whatever she wants to do. Maybe she doesn't even tell Sue. I don't know. That's on her. But yeah, my energy is clear. The universe, I feel like the universe is like, yep, you did that. You did that. Okay, so now when it comes down to Nancy. Nancy's my last class. And as I thought through Nancy, that, you know, it hasn't happened yet. I hope I can do well. I hope I'm strong. But she's going to be March 30th, my very last class. And I started to think, oh no. I was like, yes. Because I love her. And I was like, how am I going to say goodbye? Am I going to start crying? And so, man, I don't want that for Nancy, right? So I've written the family in advance on WeChat. This is the man that sent me all of the Chinese products. So I've written him in advance, and I'm alerting him. I actually have her for two lessons. I'm going to have her next week and then the week after, because like I said, they're regulars on my schedule, regular. So I'm letting him know, you know, what's going on, and that I do feel sad, and I don't know, just as a human, that I can control myself, you know, during our lesson, and I don't want him to be upset if I accidentally cry, you know, and I don't want Nancy to cry. You can see now I love Nancy, right? And so I have let him know that if he wants to cancel now, right, he can cancel both of those classes. So Nancy doesn't have to, you know, she doesn't have to go through that. If he doesn't want her to go through that. You know, I don't know the family too well. I said, you know, if you want to maybe talk Nancy through it in advance, and we do have the class. And whatever that emotional experience is, you know, he can cushion it for her. If he wants to sit in the class, whatever, right? I'm giving them the choice. And that's good too, you know. And as I wrote it, there were feelings coming up like, what if they don't? What if they don't? What if they cancel the classes? What if they cancel the classes? And I don't get to see her. I don't get to say goodbye. Well, gosh darn it, I'm the adult here and I'm the one making the decision. And so it really does tell me, yeah, this could be traumatic for her, right? I don't want her, even though I'm telling them and I'm preparing, I did have that little bit of like, no, don't just sever, let me say goodbye. And so this is really telling me, yes, Crystal, this is right. In this particular case, just believing that their feelings for me are the same as my feelings are for them. And so giving them notice, telling them in advance, letting them make a decision for their daughter, I think that's the absolute best thing I could do for them and for myself. Whatever he chooses to do, if she ends up not on my schedule, I'm going to know, great, Dad made a really good decision for Nancy. And, you know, he probably talked to her and he's going to help her not have some traumatic experience, you know, when she was 10 years old, because her American friend is gone. Or he can say, Nancy, you know, you're going to see Teacher Crystal. This is the last day, but she's still going to talk to you on WeChat. And then we're all good, right? I wouldn't even need to cry. I wouldn't even need to cry on that last class because I could say, see you soon. I'll see you tomorrow. So I'm still working through it on this podcast, but that's okay. I'm going to be okay. And, you know, this is the thing. Real life is, you know, if you're working with a coach or, you know, you see people on Instagram and they're doing all their pretty little quotes of the day and all that stuff, you know, Wellness Wednesday. Listen, make sure they're real. Make sure they can help you through something. And they're not just running around grabbing stuff off the internet and pushing it out into the world. You know, are they going to be able to help you? And that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help. And, you know, I'm getting through this. I know it probably sounds silly, but yeah, you know, I'm moving on and I'm so excited. And that's really what I can look forward to. We need to look forward to the future. And where are you going? Where are you headed? I'm headed towards helping other women. First, the women in the Philippines. And I've had highly requested classes for American women. I was calling myself a wellness coach and now I'm the holistic beauty coach. People really are looking for my other talents in being able to help people with their hair and makeup and their on-camera presence. And oh, I forgot to announce, I'm gonna start doing my podcast as a video as well, going on YouTube. And I bought new equipment. I haven't set it up yet, but I'm going to be recording from my office and making this a vlog, which I will also put on my website, which my admin is building out, and life is just beautiful. I'm so glad. I'm glad I didn't start that now because I was ugly crying and I'm sure I'm like a hot mess right now with puffy eyes and redness. So maybe the next time I have a podcast, it will be something that you could see and you can know what I look like. And you can, you know, connect with me like that and have some comments. So, okay, guys, I hope this was so, so, so helpful for you. And you can always leave me a message here. Let me know if there's any subject matter you want to talk about. Give me some comments. Let me know how you've moved on from something. And let me know if you want to be a guest on my podcast. Let me know if you want me to coach you. All of it, okay? All right, bye-bye. It's Crystal McKinney, the Bitchy Coach, also your holistic beauty coach. Have a wonderful day.